Well, it is so good. Thank you, strong man. All right. I think I don't want to block that, so I'll sit right over here. It is always just so good to come together and to worship. So great to see so many beautiful faces. And then there are some. I want to talk a little bit about the family here for a second. Something's going on there. What is going on? Am I doing something?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I want to share some really encouraging things. You know, it's so great to be part of a family where impact is being made all around us. And, you know, I just wanted to lift up a family that has done an incredible, incredible job of having a great impact in the community. Of course, we see him here every week, but I just want to just lift him up and his entire family, and that's the Francis family. Dwayne was involved in a fundraising just very recently, and he trained for boxing, and he didn't want to fight me because he knew what the results were. He knew what the results was going to be. Dwayne and his family, of course, Julie's mom had passed away because of cancer, and really had become dear to their heart. And the Francis family over the last few years have raised over $400,000 for the Cancer Society. And Dwayne was involved in a boxing match, and its goal is to raise $100,000, and it is well on its way there. And if you want to be able to help out with that, that's great. But it's just really, really great to see people say, hey, you know what, I want to have an impact on my community. And it's absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. And God blesses us. We believe in the process of multiplication. And it's not only that idea of that amount of money, but what is going to be done with that. Hopefully, it will be multiplied 100 times fold. And we're very, very excited about what has been done there. Speaking of that, I'm excited to let you guys know that we, of course, are going to be having our Christmas banquet on December 17th. I want to put in your calendar. And by the grace of God, again, we are absolutely amazed that there's a family in the congregation that says they are going to fully sponsor the entire Christmas banquet for all 200 people that's going to be coming to that. And so absolutely blown away. That is going to be the case. What an incredible, incredible opportunity to see people actually saying, hey, listen, how can I serve? And it's so encouraging and inspiring to me to see people avail themselves so that they can be a blessing to the congregation. And then on top of that, all this happened this week. Another family said, hey, listen, we want to be able to give some families who are not going to be able to have a Christmas because of financial situation and are going to be sponsoring over 20 families that is going to give a significant amount of money to them so that those families are going to be able to have a Christmas with their children. Another family in the congregation has done that this week. And so just really, really incredible to see what God is doing and to say, hey, listen, I want to have an impact in our community at large. I look around and I'm incredibly encouraged to see something. What's going on? Alex has to dress me. All right, hopefully that's better. You know, I look around and I see many faces that are familiar and some that are not so familiar, and that's a good thing, of course. And I look around and I see people from Pickering, Ontario.
Yeah.
I see people from Brockville, Ontario.
Yeah.
I see people from Kempville, Ontario. I see people from Brampton, Ontario. I even see people from Stittsville and Orleans and Gloucester and even people from Ottawa that are here. But people from Kingston. And it's great to know that we can come and gather together as a family and to say, let's spend some time worshiping our God.
Amen.
You know, the song that we just sang is going to come into play in our sermon this morning. Of course, if you've been part of the family here in a little bit, what we have been doing is going on a three-year journey. Yahweh with the people for the first year, Jesus with the people for the second year, and the Spirit with the people here for the third year. And the idea is that we will find ourselves in God's story, right? We cannot be so presumptuous to say we want God to be in our story, but actually is to find ourselves in His story. And that's the idea of what we're doing. And we started a series talking about the foundation and understanding our image of God. And sometimes even reframing that image so that we have the proper perspective of that. And then we started on the creation series. And that's not a study of science, but rather it's really talking about God being incredibly powerful, being incredible in what He has done. And last week we talked about the idea that God had turned chaos into order. He took what was formless and empty, and he gave it reason. He gave it purpose.
Yeah.
And the idea, when he had made everything, he said it was not only good, but it was very good.
Amen.
And then God bestowed upon us the incredible, incredible task of being His image here on earth. And just as He created the world and the entire universe, and He sustains it. We being His image bearer, He has given us that task as well. This earth, to be able to be His representative here on this earth and actually take care of this earth. That, as a matter of fact, He gave us the task and says, you must be able to do that.
Amen.
Take care. You're in charge. And that we're unlike any other creature that is created here on this earth. And today we wanted to spend some time and to create this image in our minds and in our hearts that this whole creation in Genesis 1 and 2, it's not by accident that there is a method to the madness, so to speak. It's not just words on page. You're going to be able to see the brilliance of God as we study seasons and rhythms and understand how that plays out in our daily life, and that there's a practical implication to understanding all of this. You know, it's just so incredible to realize that that in this family, there's a lot of stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday was Rob's birthday.
Oh.
And then Fumi leaned over to me and said, who's that young man over there? I said, interestingly, it was his birthday yesterday. He actually got a little older yesterday. I think he's now 32 or 33, something like that. 17, I forgot. And then yesterday, of course, Nastia, the sisters had an incredible shower for one of the sisters in the congregation, and just absolutely phenomenal. Of course, about a couple of years ago, we had 5 weddings in the church, and of course, what follows weddings are babies. And so we're having a couple of weeks ago we had another baby shower, and this week, yesterday we had another baby shower, and coming up in a little bit, we're gonna have another baby shower.
Amen.
That's awesome. It's great to be part of a family and to know what's happening.
Amen.
In our lives. And so I just wanted to update you there a little bit on what's going on in the family. And to, if you're visiting with us and you're wondering, man, what's going on? We believe that this script, that this is not just an event on Sundays, but rather it is a family that we are a part of, and that we're involved in each other's lives. That Sunday, that if this is not a Sunday event only lifestyle, it has to do actually during the week as well, and how we are communicating and understanding each other from that perspective. Today we're going to talk about the idea that there are seasons and rhythms that are found, that are there in the Word of God. And so, on the fourth day, in Genesis chapter 1, in can you put that back? Did I press that? Thank you. In Genesis 1, 14 to 19, this is what the scripture says. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the night from the day. And let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars and set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. So what happens here? We're seeing that seasons and rhythms are actually baked into God's creation. And hopefully we're going to be able to be inspired and encouraged and actually see the wisdom of developing good rhythms even in our lives and getting rid of destructive ones. And what we see here is an idea that when God created the heavens and the earth, and on days 1 through 3, He created the world and everything that was empty and void and formless, and He gave purpose to it, forming for us a model. And the idea, He says, when God created the vault in the sky and He separated and He created the sun and the moon and the stars, and then He created days and years and sacred seasons. Right. What's the meaning of this? What's the purpose of creating this rhythm? One of the things that I wanted to impress upon you, that we'll see that there are seasons, that there are yearly things. Season isn't yearly, there's weekly, and there's even daily rhythms in our lives. And one of the reasons that God helps us to understand these rhythms, and if we don't live according to these rhythms, our lives actually becomes chaotic. In this day and age now, everything flows one into the other. I chuckle when I go back to Toronto, which is where I grew up. It's now from Niagara Falls all the way to Oshawa. It's one big city. There's no gaps. Or scarcely any. It's all one big thing. I remember when I moved to Chicago in 2001. Wow, that's a long time ago. When I moved to Chicago in 2001, there were 24-hour grocery stores. And I said, this is the greatest thing on the face of the earth. Any time of the day, I can go and buy groceries. And then after I lived there for a couple of years, I said to myself, the whole world should have 24/7 grocery stores. How can you survive without grocery stores that are 24/7? I moved back to Canada and realized you can actually survive very well without 24/7. But what happened in my mind is that somehow that had become normal in my life. And sometimes we can get so chaotic in our lives that we think that it's that it's normal to live this way. What I want to reason with you this morning as we study God's Word is to realize that there are rhythms, seasons that God has baked into creation that is a pattern for us to live our lives by. Not formulaic by any stretch of the imagination, but rather something for us to realize that there are seasons and spiritual celebrations that were really important to God. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter 23, in verse 14 to 16, there we go. In Exodus chapter 23, in verses 14 to 16, this is what God says, speaking about the idea in Genesis of creating sacred seasons, sacred times. He says, 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festival to me. Celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Aviv. For in that month you came out of Egypt. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of harvest with the first fruits of the crop you sow in your field. Celebrate the festival of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in your crops from the field. Baked into creation. And after God had brought the Israelites out of Exodus, out of Egypt, he created and helped them to understand that there's a rhythm to this. One of the things that happened to the Israelites when they went and were captured and served as slaves in Egypt, they were literally just units to be used in creating a great country. They lost the idea of rhythms in their lives. They were 7 days a week slaves to the Egyptians. As a matter of fact, the idea that was written about in Genesis was lost. So much so that the Israelites became pantheistic, some even atheistic, certainly polytheistic in their lives. Worshiping Jehovah God was not part of what they were doing. They lost sight of the sacred times in their lives. These things had not become special to them. This week, a lot happened this week. Manly and I moved here exactly 5 years ago this week. In some sense, it seemed like a long time. In other senses, it seems like yesterday. It's amazing. Because of your faith, what God has done in 5 years. Because of your desire to serve God. And I reflected on those 5 years with joy in my heart that you brought us into this family, have embraced us in ways that went beyond our mind and our expectation. And to realize in the last 5 years, guys, over 100 people have been added to this family, this faith community. Absolutely stunning. This week as well, I celebrated my 37th year as a Christian. As a matter of fact, on that day, some people called. Tiana called. And she just left a very encouraging message. And as is my habit, on my spiritual birthday, I called the brother who brought me to the Lord, Clovis Grant. And we talked for over an hour. And we reminisced about our lives. Of course, I expressed my gratitude. Thank you for availing yourself to be used by God, and you have brought about in my life. My eyes became open. I have ears that were listening. I have a heart that was a stone that turned to flesh. And times of reflection, I never, ever not want to call Clovis on November 2nd every year. There's a rhythm. And it keeps my heart afloat. Sometimes, honestly, it's a little shocking to me when I ask some people, hey, when were you baptized? I don't know. You don't know? I'm not trying to put anyone on blast or embarrass you. I honestly don't understand it. I really do not understand it. It's literally the day that I will never forget. It's crazy. I am more apt to remember that day than the day I was married. And I'm not talking about my wedding not being significant in my life. It is it's the second most significant decision I made in my life. The first one is getting baptized into Christ. But the idea here is that there's rhythms that are in our lives placed there by God to understand, to celebrate in our lives. As a matter of fact, Jesus rebuked the generation that he was a part of when they could not understand the seasons in their lives. In Luke chapter 12, this is what he says when he was speaking to them. He says in verse 54 to 56, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain. And it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites. Whoa. Why did Jesus get up on the wrong side of the bed? He says, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? One of the things that we need to give pause to and thought to is to understand the seasons of life that we're in. Can you? Thank you. Thank you, babe. One of the things I will confess as a 56-year-old now that I did not have when I was in my 20s or in my 30s, and dare I say even in my 40s. I thought everybody needed to be the same. And recognizing seasons in people's lives was not a thought process that I even had in my mind. As I'm reading the scriptures, as I'm maturing in Christ, as I get older, I realize there are seasons in people's life. Not only there are seasons, as we're heading into fall, but there's seasons in people's lives. This summer, Melanie and I had two grandchildren. Number two and number three. That's a season in our life. We are called the sandwich generation, the generation that we're in that we have aging parents and we have grandchildren, babies being born. There's a season in life when I go now and visit my mom, and there are a lot of you that are in a similar situation. My mom has onset dementia. There are days that she calls me 6 times in 3 minutes to tell me she loves me, to tell me, ask me if I'm going to visit, to remind me that there's food there for me. She's calling from Toronto. And now my dad, who is 90 years old, his license just been taken away from him. He gave me his car that I drive now. 22 years old, love it. 439,426 kilometers on it. But who's counting? And so we have, next week, one of my sons are moving from Virginia to Florida to be where my other son is, and their wives. Of course, that's great for me because I'm going to create a competition who's going to treat me better when I go there. Well, that's the season in our life. There are seasons I know people here who are moved in with their parents or their parents have moved in with them. Donna has her mom living with her, and she is not able to recognize perhaps anyone. When she's got to be fed, literally has to be sat up and open her mouth and have her feed. Some of us are just starting our family. I don't have to take my kids to school anymore. I used to be able to. Some of us are in the middle of raising teenagers. Some of us are in a season of life where there are health challenges. Some of us have a combination of all of those things. Some of us are in a stage of life where we are reaping some remarkable bounty and blessings from God. For some of us, it's a season where there are different challenges, where there is marital issues or children issues. And I used to be of the mindset, just get with it. Jesus is the Lord of your life, so whatever's going on, Jesus needs to be the Lord of your life. And the sad part is, part of that is true. Jesus is the Lord of our lives. Amen. But not recognizing that there are people who are in the seasons of their life, it's baked into understanding these things. Yeah. And one of the reasons to understand this as a congregation is so that we can be more compassionate and empathetic. Yeah. And to share. You know, when Dwayne was training for his boxing, apparently, you're not finished training yet, are you? It doesn't look like you're finished training. No, but Dwayne said, hey, I want to communicate with the congregation. I'm going to be training on some days because I want to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so I'm not going to be there because part of it is on Wednesdays. Tony, how do I effectively communicate that? Because invariably, sometimes our DNA is, we're this person, are they struggling? By the way, so what if they're struggling? One of the biggest problems in our fellowship, actually within Christendom, all across the board, the church is not a safe place when people have a crisis of faith.
Right.
There are many things that bring about crisis of faith.
Yeah.
Sickness, financial troubles, marital issues, mental health challenges. Mental health challenges. Is that a thing? I remember you as the one. Is that a thing? There are times, even within our fellowship, when people who were struggling with their mental health challenges and the church was impatient and actually asked them to leave because they thought they were in sin.
Right.
We weren't able to deal with it. And this idea of people going through seasons in their lives and us not recognizing it, and this being a safe place for people to battle and go through crisis of faith in our lives.
Right.
That's what we ought to be.
Amen.
Not a place to say, what's wrong with you?
Right.
But how can I help you?
But
if we don't have any connection with each other and we're not sharing with each other our lives, then we're suffering alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone just recently who's had some major crisis in their life physically. And I'm begging him, share, not only with me, but with others. Not because I don't want to help, because you're going to become embittered. This is the season in your life right now. I believe the number one reason why people walk away from God is shame and disgrace through times of crisis in their life. And so I ask you, people of God, that we recognize seasons in people's lives. It's baked into creation. It's baked into how we ought to understand this. And so that we can be compassionate and we can understand what's going on. When I shared with the family, I said, man, that is incredibly generous of you. And you know what they said? They said, we are so glad that we can be a blessing.
Amen.
This is the time in our life when we are glad to share these blessings in our life. We're glad to. And I said to them, thank you for availing yourself to be a blessing and some answered prayers to people. Do you see how God is using you?
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a time where that's not going to be the case. But there are seasons in people's lives. We got to recognize there's rhythms to our lives. Because, I mean, I remember when my kids were younger, I was running here and there, and I had a full-time job and doing all these things. How do we make it all work? How do we make it all work? And now, sometimes what happens is other things dictate the rhythms to our lives.
Right.
The calendar.
Mm.
Hallmark. Reese's Pieces. Cadbury. The Easter Bunny.
Come on.
Or the Senators. Or the Leafs.
Right.
or the raptors. And our lives become intertwined to those rhythms. We get caught up in a vortex and spinning out of control because we can't find right from our left in the rhythm of our life, and life becomes chaos. But rather what rhythm does, it actually stops the chaos in our lives.
Right.
I mean, there are times I sit with people and there's always the world that's falling on them. And I tried to tell them, your life is out of control because Jesus is not dictating the rhythm to your life. So are you saying this is wrong? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not the point. That from creation, God has created a model and a pattern for us to follow. And you can dictate your own, you can chart your own way. But if you do, you are opening chaos to your life. I want to encourage you to make times that the world has used in our Christian calendar and make those times spiritual and amazing. Christmas. I know what the world does. What the business world does says this is the time we make money. I participate in Christmas activities and in gift giving. But every year when we have our gift giving time, every year, we have a family devotional. And we have in the family devotional, and we remind people the greatest gift ever to be given is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
It's a rhythm in our lives. An Easter that the world used to buy cookies and ice cream and chocolate. I want to challenge you to be mindful and thoughtful about this season in our lives on a yearly basis. We'll quickly run over some more things here. Not only on a yearly basis, but also on a weekly basis. From creation, a seven-day week is on page one of Scripture. The average life today has about 4,000 weeks. If I were to do the math in mine, I am quite a bit down the road, 2,800 weeks or so, I've lived my life. I've got to ask myself, what controls in what I do? God worked for 6 days, then he rested. We sometimes think that it's a badge of honor to always be working. I know I did. I had the mindset, there's so much work to do, there's so many souls lost, we got to save people. I would never bring myself to saying it, but in retrospect, that the practicality of my life said it depended on me. One of the first things through experience, when we came here, the biggest thing in the Ottawa church that people were tired. When the church asked Melly and I to come, we said, okay, we'll come in a couple of months. They said, no, can you come now? Why? People are tired. I still think we're tired at times. Hopefully we're starting to work rhythms, and we'll talk about rest in a second. But there's an idea that God modeled for us. And if God modeled for us work and then rest, how much more should we embrace that in our life? God established a rest, if you would, from the very beginning. And of course, when people started making rules about it, which is not very restful, Jesus took away the rules. But we still need rest in our weeks. Here's some ideas that I have for you to think about. Put rest in your calendars. Amen. Couples, have date nights. Families and household, have weekly family devotionals. We've even provided some of them in the thread. Singles, plan vacations and time together. Put rest in your calendar. Even when I was doing study here, I wanted this time to be a rest for you on Sunday mornings. That you come in and you sing songs and you're resting in God. You're hearing the Word of God minister to your heart. Amen. Will we have times of reflection of the most important event in all of history? That there's a weekly rhythm. We're going to look at an example in a second when we wrap this up. And you might be amazed at the example that we're going to look at. But this idea baked into creation is this weekly rhythm. We looked at the yearly rhythm. Now we look at the weekly rhythm. We see it in creation. God wants to take us from Egypt to Eden. Back in Eden, when God created the world and the enjoyment of it, you know, I know I've shared this before. I'll share it in this context, though. I remember when there was a brother that I was involved in his life, and he got a hefty raise. I think something from $200,000 a year to $350,000 a year. And this was 15 years ago. He's making $1 million a year now. And he said to me, "Man, Tony, I can finally do that big addition to our house." "Oh," I said, "oh, I thought you got the raise." I didn't realize the bank got the raise. I thought you got it. But the bank got it. And sometimes we're caught up in a life to keeping up with the Joneses. Or the Obandos. Or the Ahitosegas. Or the Sings. Or you name the last name. I want to ask you this question. Do you see baked into God's creation, modeling for us, doing work and resting? That's what God did. Do we do the same? Is our life so harried that the concept of rest is not a part of it? Not only in a yearly and a weekly, but on a daily mindset. In Psalm chapter 5, this is what it says. Psalm chapter 5. I'll tie it all together here in a second, verse 3. This is what it says. "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." In Lamentations, it talks about the idea of God mercies are renewed every single morning. That there is a daily habit that we have. The song that we sung, were we being hypocrites when we sang it? You remember the lyrics to the song? It says, I can't face a day without some time to pray. I need your love to say. The whole idea is that in that song we're saying, God, I can't face a day without some time to pray. Was that true this week? The psalmist says, every day I lay my request in the morning before you. We'll wrap it up with this. In Matthew, it's not here, but in Matthew chapter 11, there's an invitation from Jesus. And he says this, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is what the message says. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I wouldn't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live lightly. Jesus had these seasonal rhythms, this weekly rhythm, and this daily rhythm in his life. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke, I'll just refer to them, that him and his family went on a journey to Jerusalem on a yearly basis to celebrate the Passover. In chapter 4 in Luke, it says that Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. In Luke 4 and 5 and 9 and 21, the Bible says very often Jesus withdrew to lonely places. Sometimes he spent time with it. This is on a daily basis. Mark 1 says early in the morning he got up while it was still dark. There was a daily rhythm to Jesus' life of prayer. Hear this. If the Lord of glory had rhythms in his life on a daily, weekly, yearly basis, I ask you, how about us? And if Jesus says, come to me, learn from me, I will give you rest for your weary souls. I think sometimes even as Christians, we're trying to prove ourselves either to somebody else, sometimes more importantly to us. And Jesus says, come to me. Learn from me. Look at my rhythm. Look at the rhythm to my life. This idea of seasons and rhythms was baked into creation as a pattern for us. We have been given the responsibility to work and rest from creation. If God had to rest from his work, I ask you, what about us? I am terrible at this. One of the ideas is so that we get replenished so that, you know what happens? We can even do more work. But somehow we think we have bought into this rhythm of this world that is 24/7. We start buying into this idea, oh my gosh, how can people not live this way? When I went to Chicago, I just thought, wait, 24/7 grocery, it's the way to go. I used to think I couldn't survive without basketball and hockey and baseball and football, and the pandemic happened, and I realized you can survive without it. As a matter of fact, perhaps even better. But we go back into that mindset. I can't survive without seeing Taylor Swift in concert and paying $800 for one ticket. I can't survive without seeing Beyonce in concert that's costing me $800. Man, if I don't get those clothes and I gotta work to be able to feed those, to buy those clothes, and therefore my schedule is all off kilter, and I can't get connected with people, and I can't go and worship on a weekly basis, and I can't do these things. Oh my goodness, how can I live like that? And sometimes the rhythm to our life is so sapped to another rhythm that's unhealthy. There are times I sit with people and I am tired just listening to all that they're going through. And I say, you know how easy I want to show them in their shoulders and shake them. You're living a life that no one can live. It's not how we were created to live. I used to live life without a car. So much so, I used to live an hour and a half TTT transportation to get to university and to get to church on Sundays. An hour and a half. On Sundays, 2 hours. Each way. I didn't complain about it. Now I've got 2 cars in my house, and I complain that it's not warming up quick enough. What's wrong with this air conditioning? It's not working. I mean, it takes so long to cool the car down. This stupid seat in the car. What's wrong with this car? I used to have phone in my house that didn't even have an answering machine. And when the answering machine came on, we thought, oh, how great it is. People can leave messages. It used to be that someone couldn't get in touch with me until I got back home. And if I didn't get back home, I missed the call. They're not going to be able to get in touch with me until 2 days from now. And I thought, how arrogant of people when I saw people having cell phones with them. You think you're so important that people need to get in touch with you 24/7? Now we have a phone by our bed and we are
hooked on it until we fall asleep, and when we get up, it's the first thing that gets our attention.
Yes.
And we wonder why we're so chaotic in our lives. Do we not see the rhythm that God... I'm not against technology, believe me. But when we're beholden to a different rhythm and we're not heeding the words and the invitation of Jesus, come to me if you're weary and burdened in your soul and I will give you rest. Up in a family, never went on a family vacation. Never did. We didn't know what it was. We couldn't afford one, so we didn't think that way. We didn't have a car in our house of 9 people. The first person to get a car in our house was my eldest brother, not my mom and dad, because we couldn't afford one. Now that same set of people have about 30 cars. And when one makes a noise that's a little too loud, they trade it in and get another one. There's not one time in my life have I ever thought, my parents don't love me because they didn't take me on a vacation. Not one time in my life did I ever think that we live in a 1,200-foot apartment, 9 of us in a house, and say, what's wrong with my parents? Why are they not providing for me? Because that's not what matters. And yet we buy into this lie, our kids are going to love me if I buy them a car when they're 16 and they wear the best clothes. And you think that that's what they want. And God says, Jesus says, you're burdened and weary in your soul because you have a rhythm that's chaotic. And do you not see from inception, I created a rhythm in your life to be able to relieve you from that. And Jesus says, you've messed it up and you've made it about rules. Come back to me then and look at me and learn from me and see the rhythm in my life. I'm going to model for you that on a daily basis, sometimes I just have to stop work and go and be with my God and be with myself and rest. And on a weekly basis, I have a rhythm to my life where I go to the synagogue and I worship and I spend time and it's my rest. And on a yearly basis, we go and take a trek to Jerusalem to remember what the Passover was about. And so, seasons and rhythms, the creation account is not just, oh, there was the heavens and skies, and oh, it's all cool. There's a modeling for us. God wants us to take us out of Egypt and bring us to Eden. Will you go with him? It's this Jesus who died for our sins. So let's pray and give thanks for the communion. If you don't have a communion, please go ahead and raise your hand. This is how we call people out for being late. I'm just kidding, of course. I think that Petrina opened up the building, just to let you guys know. Okay, why don't you raise your hand. The communion guys are going to go ahead and when you get it, please put your hands down. Let's give thanks for the body and blood of Christ. God, we're just so grateful that your Son has modeled for us not only a life of sacrifice, but a life that we ought to live our lives where we can find rest for our souls. And ultimately, Father, we thank you that he provided the ultimate rest, that we are not, that we, as we enter into his rest, as he became the fulfillment of the Sabbath, of the ultimate rest, that we are not to be guided by laws and the laws of Moses, but rather, Father, he has fulfilled all of that. I pray, Father, as we reflect on what Christ has done for us, that we model our lives after him.
I pray as a faith community, God, that we don't have a schedule and a life that is so harried, and that people will say, I want to drink some of that water. That people will understand how great you are. That, Father, we will be a model for others as we revere you and as we accept your invitation in our lives. Thank you. Thank you for the death of Christ. Thank you for this rhythm that you've given us on a weekly basis to stop and tell the world nothing else matters except to celebrate what has been done for me, to me, and because of me. That is your son's death. Thank you for giving us this rhythm in our life. Help it not just become a moment in time, but to stir our hearts and find rest for our weary souls. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.